Jammer, do you have Apple One?
No. I probably should. I've been meaning to look into that and then not getting into that because Dan, I probably it would probably be like five minutes, $5 cheaper a month if I did that. Cause I have the iPhone, I have Apple Music, Apple TV, and then iCloud. I have all three of them. I really should get Apple One, but I don't have it.
You know what the weird thing is? So I don't know how much the cloud is in and of itself, but
I think mine Apple is $199 TV is $5 a month.
Music, I think music is like $9.
I think it's $9.99.
Yeah. So yeah, you're right. So the individual Apple One plan is like $14.99.
Oh, so I'd save like $1.
Well, you would also get a thing that you would never use. You would get Apple Arcade. I actually spent some time last night. I was like, you know what? Should I try this thing? Because everybody kept telling me how good Spotify Premium was. The thing that has always stopped me from using Spotify is I like weird music. I like weird anime music.
Me too. They have shitty anime music. Yeah.
It drives me nuts.
Here's you're not only that. This is the problem with anime music. They always have the ghetto off-brand versions that were recorded in someone's garage. They don't have like legit recordings.
Yep.
And also Spotify software problem. I feel like a fucking hacker made it because it automatically opens even if you tell it not to automatically open when you turn on the fucking computer. I've had two computers that I use Spotify with. Both of them had that. So clearly it's a software issue, unlike the thing that you had with Zoom.
Interesting.
But anyway, so that's why I don't like Spotify, but it's a better overall experience than Apple Music in that Apple Music, if you search for a song, you could click that song. It will play that song. And that's it.
And
it's not going to go into a playlist.
Like or, start a thing. Like,
yeah.
Like figure out from this song what else I want to hear.
Exactly.
You lazy
and
bitch.
They don't do that.
Like just
yeah.
do the thing. Like move on.
And then also there are situations that are really annoying where it's like you download and Spotify has this problem too a bit. But like if I download something, I like go offline. Two things happen. One, the fucking music I downloaded didn't download. It's just now in my special spot. And then I have to actively download. That sounded bad. It's like in my special list. But then from there, I have to actively download it when I have internet. And I didn't do that for some reason. But then the other thing that they do is that occasionally they'll be like, you don't have internet. And I was like, okay, but I want to go to my downloads. It's like, we don't have internet though, so we can't really use the app. Occasionally it'll just be like, you don't have internet. You can't use the app and you can't access anything. So I have to restart it in order to get to my actual downloads.
I mean, and so here's the thing, to be clear, I didn't hear anything you said after special spot. I was just admiring. I was admiring Danny's restraint for one, not saying anything. And then I was myself trying not to lose it. So like, I'm sure what you said just indicts, you know, Spotify and Apple Music even more. Sure. Yes. Whatever you said, I agree.
They both have their problems.
So I think very specifically, again, bringing it back to Cowboy Bebop, which I think has one of the best soundtracks.
Bringing it back to Cowboy Bebop. It was never at Cowboy Bebop.
No. To anime.
It was anime.
Anime.
Oh, okay.
I think it has one of the best soundtracks, period. And it just, when I started researching and doing this stuff like years and years and years ago, couldn't find it. And so that's what started me on a path of not really using Spotify. And it's persisted. And Apple Music, while yes, you're right, it is lazy and stupid and not intuitive. It lets me take all of the music that I may or may not have acquired illegally and upload it to their cloud for my consumption somewhere else. Yeah. So that's the thing that kept me with Google Play Music in the beginning and has now got me transferred over to Apple Music since Google sucks at music services and
seemingly sucks at services in general.
It's weird. There was a sweet spot, right? There was a period of time where they were good at services and where
never
Gmail
existed.
Was good and Drive was good and Google Play Music was good. And
well, those three things, those are the only things they're good at.
No, Google Photos.
Oh, no one used that.
Everyone uses Google Photos.
No one uses that.
They have trillions of pictures up in the cloud.
No one uses
that. That's why they had to people.
It's a lie.
It's not a
lie.
You should look it up.
You're fucking lying.
You should look it up. You're not lying. Look it up. So
I don't care.
There was this magical period of time where they were actually really good and had really good stuff. And then they started moving into like just software as a service and subscription stuff, and then also deprecating Google Play Music because they wanted to move people over to YouTube Music, and they just got really shit at stuff. Anyway.
I mean, my big problem with Google is that it always feels like it was designed by an engineer and not a designer, and they're always just garbage in terms of intuitiveness. And that goes even to Google Hangouts. I still have no idea how to use Google Hangouts. I have to refigure out every single time.
Because they don't anymore. You don't use Google Hangouts. Nobody uses that anymore.
That's because the it last sucks. Time, there's a
the,
reason
I
mean, why.
The last time I used Google Hangouts was the time you forced me to use Google Hangouts. You're like, hey, let's have a meeting. And I was like, what? And you were like, let's use Google Hangouts.
It was before, that was before the pandemic. That was before the pandemic, and that's before we had Zoom. We didn't have Zoom then because Zoom wasn't what it is now.
I didn't qualify by a time. I didn't say it was yesterday. I'm just saying the last time I used it. That's all I'm saying.
There's the lawyer.
Just saying.
Well, it's because I think I used to use Skype, and people were like, oh, I fucking hate Skype, piece of shit. Fuck you. And so I was like, fine, I'll go ahead and switch it over to Google Hangouts.
No, I would take Skype over Hangouts.
So, oh, I would too.
Anyway, just to be clear, this is not the Engadget podcast. This is Breaking Geek Radio, the podcast, where we talk about movies and stuff. This is the flagship, the premiere, and international podcast of LRM Online. I'm your host, Brandon Jones. And on this week's podcast, we got your Dannys, we got your Jammers. Gents, what it is?
It is
you're
what?
All right, it is.
I like that. How about this? Every single time you go, what it is, we say it is what, and that's it. That's like the greeting. That's like our Mandalorian greeting.
I was going to say that's very Drax of you, but all right, Mandalorian.
I mean, whatever. It's
no, I mean, I'm not disagreeing with, yeah, it could be multiple things. Things can be multiple things. I'm like, oh, I was going to think Drax, but yeah, I guess it could be Mandalorian. What it is.
It is what?
I like it.
What is it?
May the force be with you and also with you. Wait, it's funny because growing up, I used to always think that they actually said "and also with you," but I realized that was just my Catholic upbringing that auto-completed it. That's really, it's like, I don't think I realized they didn't say it until I was in college, that they no one said "and also with you." I couldn't, it's weird.
I don't think I've ever said it out loud, but in my head, I think that you're right. I think somewhere in the back of my head, I have done that before.
Yeah.
So being Catholic sucks. I say that as a Catholic, just to be clear. Just so we don't get a bunch of hate mail.
I do too.
I'm sorry.
I mean, do you ever? I don't know any Catholic who's just like, "Fuck, I love being Catholic. It's so good."
No, it's all about that guilt, man. Like you don't want to deal with. That's why I became an atheist. So.
Then you're not Catholic.
I said lapsed. I was going to, oh, I was okay. Like, I was teeing it up. So yeah. We got a show, we got some stuff to talk about, and it's going to be weird because now I have to work off of two different computer screens because things don't sync the way they're supposed to. And really what I need is a new computer. Here's what needs to happen. I feel like every third episode I say I need a new computer. How about,
and then it's just like, GoFundMe. Just don't get one.
You know what? I want a GoFundMe though. I want somebody else to buy me a computer. I want somebody to make this happen. Like, what I want first is for a new Apple event, right? I want a new Apple event.
You got one. You got one last week.
I know we just had one. No. I said new. A new Apple event.
That's pretty new. I think it's the newest one.
Here is your 14-inch MacBook Pro with the M1 chip. Go. And like, that's what I need. That's what I've been waiting on. Second generation M1 chips, or at least not the first generation.
What, I didn't watch the Apple events. What did they announce? Did they announce anything in terms of?
They announced one thing that I just bought literally before we started the show. So I bought an iPad mini. I've been dying for a new one. And so they made a new iPad mini that apes the design of the Pro and the Air. So it basically looks like the current generation iPhone. They all now saying that share the same iPhone 4-ish design, just spread out.
You just reminded me that I lost my iPad. I have no fucking clue where it is. I'm looking.
You
ask for
me a
it.
Question. You're just like looking around, like
it's behind you. It's behind you.
Fucking iPad attacks me, kills me. It'd be like that'd be like one of those freaking horror movies, like Unfriended or whatever.
The iCloud is coming from inside the house.
Dude, imagine the iCloud is like the mist.
Dear listener, the show is not sponsored by Apple, although we would be open to that. Other hardware suppliers are available. We've done nothing.
Just somebody give us money. Just somebody give us
money. So I don't know. I'm pretty sure you were the podcast. I was on the podcast when it happened, but my wife can attest. I never bitched more than the 2 years that I had a Google Pixel. Every day, I was like, I hate my phone so much.
I love the Google Pixel. That's so weird.
I hate it. It's awful. It's the worst device I've ever owned.
I remember you doing that on the podcast, the
Los Fanboys.
Always talking about you hated your Google, whatever it was. That.
My Google Pixel. It was every day. I was like, Kirsten, I want to break my phone so I can get another iPhone. And then ever since I switched back with iPhone, I think 11.
Did you just pick it up so you can see what was set up? It doesn't say. Well,
it doesn't say, which is really annoying.
It was like a 10. It's got the same weight as a 10.
If you can balance on your finger, it's an 11.
But no problems. I love my iPhone 11, I think.
Whatever. So the funny thing is, the only reason that I switched back to an iPhone was I was on my way to Munich. No, I was on my way back from Munich. No, there. I was on my way there.
Yeah, we get it. You've been to Munich.
No, I was trying to remember. I was on my way to Oktoberfest, going to Munich, and my phone just died. I'm just going to keep saying it. I'm going to say it until I get a sentence.
I was on my way back
before I even got to Munich. It died. And so I was in Munich, phoneless. And it was very frustrating. And I was like, you know what? Fuck this shit. And at the time, I think the iPhone 11 was the one. And they were like, the battery life is just amazing. You know what? Fucking is. It's great.
It is.
I've been rocking an iPhone since then. I probably will not buy the 13, which, to your question, is the other thing that was announced. So they announced new iPads and new iPhones. 13, it's bigger, better, faster.
Is it bigger? I don't want a bigger iPhone.
It's not bigger. Okay. So they actually made the notch smaller. Camera is supposed to be better. And they also added cinematic mode. Reintroduced the base model iPad, and it's like 300 and something bucks. Like, if you are a school, or if you just have a child that you're like, hey, I want to throw this thing at you.
So I'm a school.
Go away.
Tell me more.
What do you teach?
No, I'm just a school.
Anyway. And so you can buy this thing for relatively cheap. And just give someone a device. Like, $329 for an iPad is just so, at least in my opinion, relatively and stupid cheap that at this point it has become like every grandparent's like, hey, does your kid have an iPad? Okay, cool. I'm going to buy him this.
Is it? My grandparents can't afford that.
Get the Social Security money.
They have that fixed income. They have that, you know, $1,200 a month fixed income. Like, I don't know what it reminds me. I remember this one time. I don't even know if he was a friend. Some guy, I don't remember what it was, but he said something. He's like, don't you have grandparents who spoil you? I'm like, no, my grandparents are normal. Like,
so in my head, I'm envisioning like this scene in a cartoon where there's like just a group of prep guys. Yeah, my grandmother, she spoiled me, sent me to Vegas. And like the camera zooms that kid in the background, like the cloud over his head, like sad and crying. And that's you.
Granted, my grandparents are fantastic, but they're not rich, but they're amazing.
Okay. All right. So Jammers, Abuelita, excluded. Grandparents who are not necessarily on a fixed income. This might be like just a almost stocking stuffer level. Like, here's
what an iPad is a stocking stuffer?
You know, giant stocking.
Jesus. Big stocking.
I mean, I don't know. Before they passed away, my abuelos, big women. Nah, that's not true. I'm just making that up. Big stockings.
Anyway. Should we get into like movies or something or what have you, entertainment?
It depends if they're Apple TV shows or not.
This is a good transition.
That theme, shouldn't we?
So
I haven't watched Ted Lasso today.
I was going to say, we're going to talk about Ted Lasso, but I haven't seen the episode. So shut the fuck up about the episode.
Right? I haven't seen the new episode either. I haven't seen it.
Oh, good. Okay, good.
The last one was
The Beard.
Yeah, that one.
Okay. Awesome episode. I'm glad we're all similarly ignorant about this week's Ted Lasso. We're all horrible people. But that said, huge night for Ted Lasso, despite us not watching this most recent episode at the Emmys, which I find fascinating, right? Because I don't remember if we talked about that on the show, but I remember in Slack for sure. We were talking about the Emmys and folks from the Emmys basically saying like the quality of this season was going to cause them to, I don't, how would you even phrase that?
They said that like the quality of season two is going to affect whether or not they vote for it in season for the Emmys, which is for season one. And yeah. I was like, oh, F that. I hate that. Yeah. Don't
which
be that
explains
person.
Like these, you know, I think it was the Hollywood Foreign Press that got done in by Emily in Paris. Like they're all ew. Just like, oh yeah. Like they flew them over there. They gave them food. They gave them all kinds of bullshit. And so
I mean, they do that to everyone. I feel like they can't blame that part of it. Like I freaking was flown to Pixar and got fed there. And luckily they had a good movie, but
what'd you
eat? Mexican inspired food.
Did you use the spork?
It was for Coco.
Okay. All right. Okay. Did you
ask if I used a spork? It wasn't Taco Bell, Brandon.
No, for Forky.
It was for Coco.
Jeez. anyway, so yeah, Ted Lasso, huge night at the Emmys that none of us give a fuck. Actually, I take that back. Danny, do you care about award shows?
No,
okay.
I don't care about
huge it. Night at the 73rd Emmys. I know you don't. I was asking Danny. Huge night at the 73rd Annual Emmy Awards, which none of us care about. Ted Lasso swept major categories. Jason Sudeikis taking in outstanding lead actor for his portrayal of Ted Lasso. Other winners were Brett Goldstein for his portrayal of Royal Kent, and Hannah Waddington, who plays Rebecca, the owner
yeah,
of
Richmond. All well-earned awards.
Let me tell you, it's super weird seeing Jason Sudeikis without the mustache. Like it's like, it's almost as jarring as when you watch the first Shaft movie with Samuel Jackson, and it's got Christian Bale in it. And so he's doing his thing. He's got his American accent. And then you see the behind the scenes stuff and he's British. And it's like, what the fuck is this? This is the same thing. Like, I can't see Ted Lasso without the mustache anymore.
Earlier this week, because fuck it, we decided to watch We're the Millers, which we hadn't seen since like it came out.
How was that?
Oh, it's great. I love We're the Millers. It's awesome. Okay. It's fun. But he's in it.
Yeah.
Two things I noticed. He doesn't have a mustache. It's weird. Two, that Ted Lasso accent, he kind of has it already, but it's a little more, it's understated naturally. And I think he just plays it up a little bit more for the show. But it was interesting. I was like, oh yeah, I didn't realize he actually kind of had that a little bit.
Okay. I feel like that is a reason in and of itself to watch award shows, but not really.
What, for accents?
Yeah, you know, just to get to see people in their natural habitat.
Natural habitat.
But actually, that's not true. I feel like I like to maintain a distance now because you never know when somebody's going to do something crazy when you have to disown liking someone because they've done something nuts. You know, like Simu Liu. Anyway.
What did he do?
What do you mean, what did he do?
I mean, which thing are you talking about? There are three things that people are like pointing to. Which one do you feel the need to distance yourself from him for?
I mean, I don't.
Talking about his China comments?
So he is not someone that I embraced. Like, this isn't Eric Clapton, right? So I don't feel like I have to be like, ah, man, what the fuck? This is more like he is relatively new to me. And at the same time, I am learning these things about him and these things that he said in the past.
So there are three things there was A, his comments against China, which were just him retelling a story from, I think, his parents and their life in China. And they described China as X. And China obviously didn't like that. The other one was that he played a pedophile once and then talked about back then that it opened up his perspective on people with those urges and it made him empathize or sympathize with them or whatever. People don't like that. And the third one, I think, was some vaguely sexist comment having to do with women playing
before
volleyball.
Before you move on from that second one, the second one's important because it didn't just open up his mind and make him feel some form of sympathy. He compared it to homosexuality.
I didn't see that part.
Other part of it where people are like, oh, that's.
But when was that comment, I guess, is the question.
So it was a screenshotted comment from Reddit, and I'm trying to remember, I think it's 2015.
Six years ago.
yeah, it's not, you know, horribly far in the past. So some of these comments were made between 2015 and 2016, you know, when he was making those office screenshots.
Yeah, but I also don't want to understate how far things have come in 6 years. Now everyone is acting like no one has ever said anything bad about trans people just on the daily back in the day. That just was a thing that was done regularly 3 years ago.
So I think there are a couple of things to it. One, you're right. Yes, there is a perspective now that if you weren't always for folks in the LGBTQ community, that you can't evolve and grow. That said, part of what he said in this comparison was like, he sounds like an anti-vaxxer from this perspective. He's like, when I was researching this for a role that I did, there is a gene that mutates that makes people pedophiles, and it's very similar to homosexuality. That's
pretty bad.
That. So parading it as like pseudoscience is really the bigger problem. So we're talking around it. Let me pull up the comments.
I like how this isn't even a news story. This is not one of our news stories. This is an episode. We're 30 minutes in. This is not one of our news stories.
So
it kind of is. Said, it is one of our things, though, right? Jones. It is everything like these, like Twitter comments and Reddit comments that are screenshots. They're never really given the full context and the rest of the conversation and the follow-up questions that were asked. Because from what you've just said there, it sounds like he's comparing it to something that goes wrong, meaning paedophilia is wrong and so is homosexuality is wrong.
Right. But
it mm-hmm. could have been what he was trying to say was, is that someone being a paedophile, they can't do anything about it exactly the same as someone that is heterosexual or homosexual can't do anything about it. It's not something to be fixed.
And
obviously, there's a difference between what we deem as good and acceptable in society and something that's not. And I think we can all agree that paedophilia is not. But it's if you don't act on those urges, then that's maybe where he's coming from, is that I can empathize that you have something that you can't help. There are people that are attracted to telephone boxes and things like that, right? Inanimate objects. They can't help it. It's whether or not their actions... whether or not they act on those impulses or not. Now, that's where you can't compare it to homosexuality or heterosexuality or men, women, cisgender, exactly. That's where you can't. And so even from your comments, I'm like, well, what was he trying to say? Is the rest of the article, does it clarify his points? Was he ever given an option? Or was it just a snapshot saying paedophilia is like homosexuality? Because if that's the screenshot, that's fucking awful. But that might not be what he meant.
That's part of the problem, right? So the problem is when you write this stuff down and it gets captured and saved in the internet forever, there's no one saying like, should you really be comparing that homosexuality? Because usually the next comment is like, I mean, that's not what I meant. What I meant is blah.
Yeah.
Because you don't have that real-time conversation, that's the problem. And so the comment actually reads like this. The experience of researching for this role made him more sympathetic to anyone who was born with those urges.
Made him?
Is that the quote?
It says made him?
Yes.
Where'd they get this quote from? Where's the actual quote?
This is from Reddit.
But that's the quote that, how come it says him and not me if it's a quote?
I'm sorry. It is his quote. I am saying that.
Okay. The quote verbatim.
Much more sympathetic to anyone who is born with these urges. The post goes on to say, quote, from a biological standpoint, it's no different than being gay, a small mutation in the genome that defines our sexual preferences. Depending on what area of the world you were born and what time, it also may have been a perfectly acceptable thing to act on those urges, end quote.
Okay.
So I think what happens is, so part of the problem is this. So one, this is a deleted post and it sucks for him because the thing that happens when you become famous is the internet's forever and somebody's going to go find this stuff. And now that this is the number one movie in America, some people may have certain feelings about that and some people that are his fans. And so they're going to find this and have a perspective on it. And I think it's just interesting from that perspective, the way that we kind of react to this stuff.
Yeah.
That is interesting.
So anyway, given the full context of that particular statement, do you all have anything else to say about that?
Goodness, no. I'm not going to comment on that quote.
You did your own research and you have feelings about it.
There's so much nuance there that I'm like, and there's so much space for, I didn't mean that, I meant this.
Yeah.
And also there's also room for, this was years ago. Also there's room for, this was the mind space I was in following a role, doesn't mean it's right. And there's also room for all sorts of stuff. So I guess I did just comment on it.
That was the longest no comment ever.
So yeah, you know, it is interesting because, again, it seems like the purpose of unearthing these things was to ensure that he got canceled. I don't know how I feel about it, given the length
of time that has passed, or
given the length of time that has passed, or any of that stuff. Like it's hard. It's difficult, right? And I think when it comes to anything like that, if you feel offended by it, really the best thing that you can do is sit with it and determine whether or not that's somebody you still want to support based on how you come out on the other side.
And fair. And like, also, I think I don't want to assume, are we all straight? If so, I'm not sure our perspective really matters on this, because I'm not really on the other side feeling any sort of whatever from what he's saying.
I think from a perspective of allyship, you can take offense to it, right? So I think you can, because part of it is that, so I'm thinking about it from this perspective. When it comes to sex assault or sexual harassment, we're expected to, as bystanders, intervene, say something, stop it.
Well, let me rephrase it. I think us not being offended by it isn't really, doesn't matter. If we don't, it's like if someone said a gay joke and all of us who aren't gay say, oh, I don't care. It's like, well, of course you don't care. Doesn't affect you. It's not pointed at you.
Yes.
So if we weren't feeling something, it doesn't really matter.
I don't know if I think of it as being that binary. I think that you can take the perspective that someone is saying and doing something offensive and putting it out into the world. And it doesn't necessarily matter that it impacts you. And that's why I brought up allyship. Like, that's why I think that it is okay to feel something and think something. Like, I don't necessarily think about it from a perspective like we should be up in arms and necessarily be angry about it. But I do think it is worth it, like the way Danny pointed out. Like, if somebody's in that Reddit conversation, just be like, hey, what do you mean? Are you saying that you think this? Are you saying that you think homosexuality and pedophilia are like
But this? I agree. You getting offended by it, I guess, from an ally perspective, yes, that could mean something. But not being offended by it, so like, is nothing. So for example, just because if all of us here, if we're all straight and we all are unanimously unoffended by it, us saying that, oh, I'm unoffended by it, that doesn't matter.
I think it depends. I don't
but know if we say but if that. We actually I don't think I'm being clear about it. I think I'm skirting around what I'm trying to mean because I can't figure out how to say it properly.
I think what you're saying is the fact that you or someone else who is not homosexual is not offended by it should not then be taken as a negative.
No, I would say this. It's the equivalent of a white person saying, I don't think black people have it more difficult in the US.
I don't know.
Or it's just like your perspective as someone who doesn't believe a certain people shouldn't have a problem with something comes from a place where you're not a member of that community. However, if you were to empathize with them, that's different than not. So I'm not saying right.
I think the way that so using that specific example, I think what I would say is what that person was saying is coming from a place of ignorance, because I don't think that you would agree with that statement.
Which is what I'm saying is if we all decided, oh, we're not offended by that, I think we can argue it comes from a place of ignorance because we don't have that experience of being, you know, compared to pedophiles. Due to our sexuality.
I don't think that's what he was doing, though. But I think here's the challenge, right? I think we've all possibly, Jam, we've even though Jones has just said the quote, we've all taken our own individual perspectives on that quote itself. I don't think, I'm putting words into his mouth, so to speak, that's what he meant, was comparing paedophilia with homosexuality, only that it's a natural process in the body that can't be helped. I think that's where the comparison was. So I'm not offended by that because I've assumed a contextual meaning from it. Someone else sure. might have read it and understood it differently and immediately got offended. And that's when we'd have had that conversation and argument about whether or not, but that's not what he meant. He meant X. No, I think he meant Y.
And so here's part of the problem with that. Man, we're going long in this topic. What I think is the problem comes from the context. So a lot of people will look at the Catholic Church, so bring it back to Catholicism, and they will say that people who assault children who are within the Catholic Church, well, those are just homosexuals. Like, no, those are pedophiles, right? And so that's the background context that you're dealing with. So when he in 2015 says there's a linkage between the two, people are thinking about, well, we've talked about the Catholic Church and how there are people who are pedophiles that assault children there. And we've linked that to homosexuality. And part of the solution is like, well, we should let the priest just get married. It's like, no. Those are not the same thing. And so I think part of the problem that people have with what he said is the broader context. And so what the part of the problem that happens when someone says something that becomes offensive to a group of people is sometimes you just need to understand where they're coming from and the context in which they live their lives, as opposed to...
Let's be real, though. No matter what the meaning of that quote is, it's kind of controversial regardless of what he means.
Sure. I guess I'm seeing it from the perspective of not understanding, what I think is the broader context in which someone could get offended by. And it's... Yeah. We have in the United States linked those two things before in the worst way.
Well, let me also make another comparison. J.K. Rowling, we've talked about her quite a bit.
Yep.
Robert Galbraith book, one of the big things was the latest one, which we've discussed. Troubled Blood, that's the name of the book, which I always think of Taylor Swift's song, Bad Blood. Because you know we got troubled blood. Anyways, I sing it all the time, every single time I read the title. Anyway, there is a man who dresses up as a woman to lure in victims, right? He's not necessarily a trans person, nor necessarily somebody who dresses like that because they like it, but because it's a method to lure someone in. Under that context, as a cisgender straight male, I'm thinking, oh, it's not the same thing. To me, that's not misrepresenting the trans community in any way, because it's not saying trans people are like that. It's just saying this guy is using something to lure in people. I don't see that as trans representation. However, hold on. Speaking with some, you know, LGBTQ friends, they're like, well, that's still basically representing the community. That's like, that is a representation of the community because he is dressing up as a female and doing this. Like I said, me, I'm not offended by that. I don't think it represents that. But as someone who comes from a certain perspective, I feel like I could understand why he sees that as a method of representation, even when it technically isn't. It could be perceived as such and still tarnish the group.
So what I find interesting about that is I kind of agreed, and what I thought you were going to say was something different. I don't necessarily see it again from that person's perspective. What I do think, again, it goes back to context. That book comes out after she has made quote unquote disparaging marks about people in the LGBT community, specifically trans women. Like, she is very, she has a perspective that is very like, women are women and real women are women that are born that way. That is her perspective. And I'm paraphrasing it. So, you know, go out there and see if you can find the quote for yourself. But I think that the problem with the book is, and I say that only, the reason people get offended by the book is because of the context. She made these disparaging comments about people in the trans community. And then you have someone that kind of maybe seems like they might fit squarely within the negative comments that she's making. And so from that perspective, again, I could see why somebody is might be offended by that portrayal.
Yeah. Yeah, but that wasn't what was said.
Yeah.
But I see your point. But yeah, once again, my comparison there was, as somebody who's not a member of the LGBTQ plus community, it was more difficult for me to see it from that perspective, just like it might be more difficult for me to see it from the perspective of somebody who is and is offended by Simu Liu's comments, even if technically what he was saying seems maybe objectively not comparing it in the way that we think. The fact that we're talking about it does kind of lend credence that it still kind of has a similar effect.
Yeah. Yeah.
Jesus, that was a discussion.
That was a discussion. So that's what we're here for. Deep, deep discussions about folks like Depp, who, you know, talks about whether or not people are going to get canceled because of comments like Simu Liu's. So just to move on to another story that has some ties to what we were just talking about. Johnny Depp was at the San Sebastian Film Festival accepting an award, and the press was only supposed to be talking to him about his career and movies and things of that nature, but someone asked him a question about his most recent dealings with physical assault, things of that nature, and what it means to be quote unquote canceled. And he said words to the effect of, you know, basically being canceled is coming for you and no one is safe, not one of you. The full context of what he said was, I believe that if you are armed with the truth, then that's all you need. It doesn't matter if a judgment has taken some artistic license. When there is an injustice, whether it's against you or someone you love or someone you believe in, stand up, don't sit down. Don't sit down on them. They need you. So he's, again, making those comments. And the context is he's recently lost a court battle with his then wife, Amber Heard, about a physical assault that happened between him and her. And so it's kind of interesting, again, that he's bringing up whether or not cancellation is a thing. And I guess the question I wanted to ask you guys about that is, given that we were just talking about Simu Liu and talking about this conversation with Depp, do you think that that's actually a thing?
Cancel culture?
Yeah.
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 Interesting.
I mean, like, if, I mean, the fact well, that I, there's I, like, there are things fucking on Twitter, they have those, the hashtag Chris Evans is over party or whatever is over party. I think that goes to show it's like, yeah, they do. It does snowball. Like a lot of these things do snowball into bigger things and people like to glom onto it and pick a side, and whether or not it's justified, it just varies, you know?
Yeah.
But at the same time, cancel culture has always been the same, has always been something in one way or another, be it people or companies. It's like, you know, a company does something bad, we decide with our dollars if we want to support that company. Same thing with people.
But is that the same thing as cancel culture? Right? So voting with your dollars, is that the same thing as cancel culture?
I think it's one of the things. It's like one of maybe a little bit. It's like part of it, I think. It's part of the same DNA.
Okay.
Cancel culture. Yeah, I think it's there. I think it's prevalent enough. And I think it's probably more prevalent than it used to be. And I do think people occasionally do look for stuff to get offended by so they can be interesting, so life can be more interesting. And then maybe just sort of push things along just because it's entertaining. Whether or not they feel actually passionate about it is one thing or another, but it does snowball it into something bigger. Now, again, whether or not it's a good thing or bad thing, I don't know. But I do think the proliferation of social media has at least made it more front and center and something that catches headlines a lot easier and potentially has bigger impact as a result.
Danny, thoughts, feelings about either Depp or cancel culture generally?
Yeah, I think it does. I think it does exist. I would say it's like a subset. What we were just talking about, voting with the dollars, or, you know, refusing to use a certain chain of fast food restaurant or buying a certain product, etc. I think it's all part of the same species, so to speak, but maybe a different variant of that species. I think cancel culture fits in there, but it's maybe not exactly the same thing. It does exist. I agree with Jammer. The advent of social media over the last few years has made it more prevalent and makes it hang around for longer and reaches more people, so it has a bigger impact. But I'm pretty sure it happened in the past in early Hollywood. I'm sure there were things that weren't disagreed and people stopped getting hired, etc. Had that had happened now, that would have been all over social media and they would have been cancelled across the world, so to speak, to coin the phrase. So I think it's always been around, and social media makes it more prevalent, that's all.
The cancel culture is like, I think it's also a bit weird in that, like, the term cancel culture, I feel like, is used by people who often just don't like when people have different opinions as them, okay, which is a part of the problem. Yep. And also, like, cancel culture, it has its positives, like Me Too movement, Harvey Weinstein. Like, those are things that needed to be, like, brought out and paraded so that it can be the start of a conversation and hopefully the start of a solution. It's not something that I think would have happened if social media wasn't around. I think that's a part of cancel culture, but I don't, like I said, I think we think of cancel culture like, oh, it's a negative. I think it has its utilization.
I think what you're getting at, I agree with, and from this perspective, the phrase cancel culture, you're right, is generally something that is used by very specific people, right?
Right wing.
And it has,
say it.
Huh?
Right wing.
Right wing media. Right wing media, right wing individuals who don't like the fact that they say and do dumb shit and people have a certain feeling about it. And so that phrase has made it out of that bubble into the broader world. And what I find interesting is you guys eventually came to, like, Weinstein, or I don't think you guys said Woody Allen, right?
Did not.
What I find,
because I don't think he's actually getting canceled, he just got a documentary made.
So what I think what happens in these situations is it's some form of accountability for some people. Woody Allen's not going to jail, despite the fact that there is some evidence that he did some bad things to his daughter.
And I don't think anyone who loved his movies before is going to stop watching them.
Or the fact that, you know, people like Scarlett Johansson are like, I'm going to keep working with him. And so I think people making an outcry about some of these people is an attempt to get some kind of accountability for some of what they did. And without that, Harvey Weinstein would still be walking the streets and making movies. And so I hesitate to call it cancel culture only because, again, the origins, where it came from. And it is an attempt to use negative language to talk about accountability in a negative way. It's the same way we talk about social justice warriors.
It's like those people go like, I'm not feminist.
Right. I'm not feminist. I'm not a communist. I'm not a socialist. I'm not a social justice warrior. And it's like, well, Muhammad Ali was a social justice warrior. Malcolm X was a social justice warrior. There are people throughout history who are those things, but we have created and coined these, or I'm sorry, not we, people have created and coined these terms and used them to disparage what we would otherwise find to be positive characteristics.
Well, understood.
So yeah, I guess I will correct. So cancel culture is, I believe, a real thing. However, using the term cancel culture in a negative connotation is bullshit. There you go. Like, that's basically what it comes down to.
We did it. Okay. You guys want to talk about something less serious, less weighty?
Please. This has been a heavy 30 minutes here. It took us 30 minutes to get started and 30 minutes to jump straight into depression territory.
What are you talking about? What are you talking about? I don't know what you're talking about. Illumination has hired Chris Pratt to be who else but Super Mario. I'm really curious what that voice is going to sound like. Is he going to put on a voice, or is he going
to? I don't know. So I'm trying to think here of, like, the history of Mario.
Yeah.
in his voice. Yep. He's usually before Charles Martinet, who plays the voice in all the video games. Prior to him, it was kind of like a grungy sort of Italian plumber type of voice. Wave your arms from side to side. You know,
back in the cartoon days. Is that an Italian plumber?
No, that is him from the
Super Mario Super Show.
Yeah,
really?
Or, we got to see some clips of this. Oh, you've never seen the glory?
You got no spaghetti? Like he would talk like that.
Do the Mario.
And then of course, like he's like, trust the fungus, and like you know that's kind of how he was with Oh my God, I can't believe I forgot his name. Hmm? What the heck is his name from the Mario movie?
The Mario movie.
Oh my God. What is his name? Bob Hoskins.
Oh, yeah. Sorry.
Him. And then we switched over from those grunginess to, you know, it's me, Mario, and which is completely different. I feel like Chris Pratt.
They had to make you forget about that movie. That's what happened.
He's going to split the difference between the two because he can have more of a normal voice, but maybe sort of a, I don't know. Somewhat Italian accent. I don't know why I'm speculating. I don't think there's any way anyone can predict which direction they're going to go with it. I think he will have an Italian accent. Yes.
Okay. All right. So just to finish out the story before I ask Danny a question about it, we've got the rest of the cast to include Anya Taylor-Joy as Peach, Charlie Day as Luigi, Jack Black as Bowser, Keegan-Michael Key as Toad, Seth Rogen as Donkey Kong. I guess I should be happy that they didn't make Keegan-Michael Key the monkey. That's exciting.
Oh, God.
Was I not supposed to say that?
Is there no Yoshi?
You gotta save it for the sequel.
You gotta save it for the sequel, just like you're saving it, you know, Wario and Waluigi for the sequels.
Danny, what is your experience with Mario and does this cast excite you, regardless of your level of Mario-ness? I mean, it can't be that high. You didn't even know about this TV show.
I did not. I loved the first Nintendo. So the Nintendo Entertainment System, I played Mario on that. And Mario Kart when the N64 first came out. That is the short answer to my experience with Mario.
Oh my God. What have you been doing? Just lifting weights this whole time? Jesus Christ. Sure. No wonder you're so buff.
I was playing other things. It wasn't Mario, man.
Fucking playing with that squat rack over there.
There's a giant tire over there. I'm gonna go lift that.
It's like you're gonna play Mario. I'm gonna fucking lift that rock and knock it over my head and then do it again. 50 reps.
What about some Mario Kart? What about flipping that tire? Are you excited for this movie, Danny?
No.
that's the story.
That's it.
The movie that Danny does not give a shit about will come out December 21st, 2022. So we got a little bit of a wait.
Oh, shame.
You know, I mean, you know, that's nice. It's 1993. The movie the Jammer was referencing. Bob Hoskins, they had to let that shit die down. R.I.P. Bob Hoskins, but.
Trust the fungus.
And wasn't who was Luigi? Wasn't it John Leguizamo? Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Who also?
Yeah.
It's funny for most of my life, I actually thought he was Italian because of that movie.
Movies have exactly really messed you up.
What was the other thing that I mentioned last time?
Eli.
Oh yeah, Eli Wallach. I thought he was Mexican because of Good, Bad, and the Ugly.
I feel like one day you're just going to like cry in a corner about how movies have lied to you your entire life.
I thought Marlon Brando, he was Mexican because of Viva Zapata. I'm kidding. No, I didn't.
Oh, shit. Oh.
That's good stuff. Super Mario coming right at you next year.
Please keep me updated with new casting calls. I can't wait to find out who's scoring that movie. Yay.
Nintendo, probably.
Well, here's the thing about this list, though. There's no way any choice would have been received well. I know you're looking confused.
No, because I don't... What?
this list of actors who they picked to play these voices, there's no way any of them would have been received well, because I've seen a lot of people shitting on them. I'm just like, really? Oh yeah,
who the fuck cares?
Oh, a lot
the
of
last
people
thing
are
you
like,
got again the last thing you got was some 1993 dog shit, and you're just like, you're gonna hold up Mario as being like the gem of the animation world? Like, no, you got to get this right. I'm going to need some Oscar caliber stars in this.
Well, they're not looking. I don't think they're looking for Oscar caliber. I think they're looking at one of two things. A, someone they imagine doing well. I know. B, Charles Martinet to revive to play all the Mario and his and Luigi characters and stuff. Like, but I'm like, that would be fucking annoying to have that voice actually talking in complete sentences.
How often does that ever happen? It almost never follows that the person who is voiced this character in television.
I never, just because it doesn't happen doesn't
I
mean
got
that
it. I'm just saying, like, the expectation that it happens, it just sounds so completely insane. Like, I'm in my head, I'm envisioning two times where it did happen. One time it was Kevin Conroy, who played a version of Batman and a crossover on the CW, and then Bo-Katan on The Mandalorian got Katie Sackhoff. But
that's like the reverse. That's the reverse in that case.
Sure,
that's coming from live action to animation.
Yeah, but that is abnormal. So yeah. I don't know. Whatever.
I mean, this is fine. This is I'll wait and see. Sorry.
Bless you.
I'll wait and see what happens with this. I'll wait till I hear something, but I just can't wait to hear Keegan-Michael Key go, okay, yeah, or something like that.
The princess is another castle.
Yeah, I can't say that. It's too long of a sentence. sorry.
Fine.
I'm trying to think who else is there. They have Charlie Day as Luigi, which was interesting. I kind of like that. And then they have... I like the fact that Donkey Kong, both Donkey Kong and Cranky Kong are here, which makes me wonder if they're going to address the fact that, I don't know if Danny definitely doesn't know this. You know the game Donkey Kong, Danny?
Yeah.
Did you know that Donkey Kong there is not actually the Donkey Kong we know and love today?
It's Cranky Kong.
It's Cranky Kong, his grandpa.
I did not know that. Now I'm slightly more interested in this story. Go ahead. Who's Cranky
Kong? There's a lore.
Cranky Kong is like basically Donkey Kong's grandpa or dad.
Okay.
I don't know. They don't really address which the lineage there specifically, but I guess the implication there is the Mario that he dealt with. I don't even know if that's actually Mario, like Mario. It could be like Jumpman is what his original name was, but his character model was brought over to Super Mario Brothers. So it's like, I don't know. Like,
I feel like Mario fun to address in the sequel. Like,
which is why, because the fact that he has. The fact that he has that they have Donkey Kong in this movie is interesting in that respect. It makes me wonder if between that and Cranky Kong, if they're going to address something to do with that history.
Do you think this is a retcon to ensure that we ended up liking Donkey Kong?
I probably was. I know for a fact they didn't think about it. Just like how the Zelda timeline is a retcon timeline, because why not? Because they always think about gameplay first. They don't give a shit about the story. Nintendo doesn't care.
Okay. All right.
But yeah, I'm actually... Illumination Entertainment, a lot of people shit on them. Rightfully so. But like,
why?
I think
What's bad?
I hate the Despicable Me and Minion movies, personally.
Oh, yeah.
Like Secret
Sing,
Life of
but
Pets.
You like Sing. You have to like Sing.
I love Sing.
There you go.
That's actually what I was about to go with. I love Sing.
There you go.
But Secret Life of Pets... Bleh. Okay. I don't like that.
The trailer was good.
The Grinch, how the Grinch stole Christmas. Eh. But here's the thing. Here's the thing that they do. They are able to make mid-budget animated movies to make them massively appealing to a large group of people and for them to be generally decent, even if I don't personally like them.
Yeah.
And at this point, this is what Mario needs, something that has mass appeal. That appeals to kids specifically, but also somewhat to adults, and is just colorful and bright and fun.
Yeah.
And they're good at that.
And then the cool thing is, like, when they make a video game out of it, it'll be like even more of a success, right? So like, start selling toys and video. Oh wait, no, we're already there.
What? I was really confused. I was like, what? But I guess they could have like a movie adaptation of the story, a video game movie. Wait, video game movie, video game.
Yeah.
Movie.
It was meant to be a bad joke, but it's cool.
Well, it was a bad joke.
Me. It was a bad joke, but that doesn't mean it didn't.
It really was a bad joke.
Blow my mind there. Still.
Mission accomplished. Too soon?
Too soon. Yeah, we have another hour or 30 minutes or however long it takes for us to get.
Well,
to
by the way, we're going.
We're done. At this rate, we're mission already? Complete on the stories. Yeah.
Mission accomplished.
Yeah. I mean, like I said. I added like some bullshit conversation pieces in there. Like Henry Cavill wants to make an Injustice movie. It's like, well,
sure.
Don't you just want to be Superman again? Like not necessarily evil Superman.
I mean,
we're getting more Tiger King. Yeah. They're stretching.
He's a man of the people. He's a man of the people. Henry Cavill is, and, you know, who else is a man of the people?
Marshall Wallace, who hates Star Wars.
Emiliano Zapata.
Oh yeah. I thought he was not Marlon Brando.
Guy. Not Marlon Brando.
Wait, Zapata's he's dead.
Spanish. Yeah, he's dead. Dead as fuck.
Huh.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
What about the Caballo Blanco?
I have no idea what the fuck that is.
White horse. He had a white horse.
I know, but what is that?
He had a white horse. Ranger.
No, what? Emilio Zapata had I thought he had a Caballo Blanco, a white horse. No.
I mean, I don't know. I never heard about the white horse before. I mean, maybe I did, but forgot.
I'm gonna look this up now. You do some Star Wars vision stuff. I'm gonna look up this Caballo Blanco.
No, I'm actually looking it up right now too. So sorry.
Can't do, Danny. Talk about some stuff.
Do you want me to talk Caballo. About June?
Caballo talk Blanco. About June. Okay, why June? What's happened? What?
What's June?
I saw it today.
What's June?
Not June with a J. Dune with a D.
Oh,
Dune.
Dune, yeah.
I swear I heard you say June as well. I was like,
yeah.
I was leaning away from the computer. I was Dune.
So spoiler free. So before we get into visions, let's talk a little bit about Dune. Spoiler free Twitter review. Go.
How many characters do I get in Twitter? Or have I just used them all up?
240.
You get 200, 200, 280.
240. 280?
80. Yep. 280. It used to be 140. Now it's 280. Doubled.
Okay, well, here's my... I was actually pleasantly surprised. I was a little bit nervous going in that it was going to be a little bit overlong and a little bit bloated, like how I felt about Blade Runner, the 2049. I was pleasantly surprised that it's not. It actually does a great job of not feeling as long as 2.5 hours. It goes along very nicely. It's the exposition that is in there is enough for the Dune fanatics to feel like they've not been cutting anything out, but they've done it in a way that is easy for someone to pick up, a layman to pick up. My only other concern, well, from the trailers was that Paul Atreides, the actor that's playing him, I thought was a little bit too young from the trailers, but in the movie itself, the way he grows in the movie and his maturity comes through is really fucking good. So I am super excited about the next one. I don't think it's a spoiler to say that they leave it in a position that needs another film. I was pleasantly surprised. It's not bloated, looks fantastic, and super happy that I saw it on the IMAX. So I definitely recommend that you go check it out. Yeah.
So this is my fear. My fear going into it, I'm scared of being bored. I be afraid?
Nope.
Yes. Okay. Nope. That makes me happy, especially since you also seem like to think that Blade Runner 2049 was boring.
I did. I mean, it looked great. I think there were some great performances in it, but it just drag on. I was feeling like I could fall asleep. In Dune, no, I was captivated all the way through. They did it. The pacing was really good for a very long film with a lot of stuff to cover. So it was good.
Great. That makes me happy. Blade Runner 2049 was the only Denis Villeneuve movie where I was just like, it's good, but it's boring. The other ones, he's just really good at like tension and just propelling things forward, you know, between Arrival and like Prisoners and like the other movies, just like they're all great. Anyway, and that's awesome.
Certainly a concern for us, knowing how we felt about Blade Runner, that Dune, with it being a multi-book series, etc., was going to be that way, but it's not. Absolutely, go look at it, go watch it. Don't be afraid of that boredom setting in. I certainly wasn't, and I felt the same as you.
Yes, that makes me so happy to hear. Do you think it has a chance come Oscar season?
Other than special effects.
Yes. Well, that's really difficult because without spoilers, because there's characters that you just don't have enough time with yet. And so
what about Best Picture?
No.
No? Okay.
No, but I do think the supporting cast there will be a few nods looking at how they vote on things, and the supporting performances in the film were good.
Jesus Christ, why am I sneezing so much today? I wonder if it's like dust in the air or something.
Spice.
Anyway, maybe. Maybe. Yeah, I do have pumpkin ale, so maybe it's the spice from that.
You got Uggs boosts? Huh?
Hey, you know what? Fuck everyone. So here's the thing. Here's the thing.
Show me the yoga pants.
The whole PSL thing. So you're basically doing what the right is doing to cancel culture. You're giving it a negative connotation for no good reason.
What are you talking about?
I embrace pumpkin and all of its amazingness.
You weren't.
I've been a fan.
North Face over there.
You know what's funny? You know what's funny? Is I actually am wearing yoga pants. They're like a.
Way to be a stereotype.
They're.
I don't want to see this.
They're Lululemon.
Put your crotch down.
They're not tight.
Who wants this?
They're not tight.
Put your yoga pants back on.
They're like sweatpants, but they're like fancy yoga sweatpants that I got for Christmas like 3 years ago. I would never pay for these voluntarily, but actually, listen, you know, maybe I would now. These are so good. These are.
Here's the thing. You had two jobs. You were supposed to be talking about Dune and you were supposed to be looking up Zapata. Did you at least find the white horse?
Oh, no, because I Googled it. It didn't pop up. And I was like, okay. And I'm going to have a conversation with Danny about June. And then I did.
Or July.
Okay, so let's talk about Star Wars, specifically Star Wars Visions. The trailer came out months ago, and it made me really excited for the future of Star Wars, because personally, going into the sequel trilogy, I was like, I'm ready for Star Wars. The first one gave me that. Episode 7 gave me that. And then I was like, I'm ready for something new. Take this franchise in an unexpected direction. Episode 8 did that for me. Everyone fucking hated it. And then they brought back episode 9. Fucking everything went back to the center. Became sort of mundane and boring. Then The Mandalorian came out. Continued that easy, that very like, this is Star Wars. We're going to stick in the same timeline. We're going to do the same shit over and over again. But we're going to pile on the fan service. And people will be okay with it. And you know what?
You weren't okay with it. They were. You didn't like it.
I thought it was okay. I didn't hate it. I thought it was okay. Bit pedestrian, but okay. So this here, Star Wars Visions, promised unique types of stories set in the Star Wars universe. And you know what? For the most part, I think it delivered. It was released on September 22nd, earlier this week. There are 9 episodes directed by various anime studios, from Kamikaze Doga to Studio Colorido to Trigger, Kinema Citrus, Production IG, and Science Saru, and Geno Studio. So all these studios got to leave their imprints on the Star Wars franchise. What can these folks from across the sea, or the ocean rather, do with this franchise that we in the US have not done yet? The answer for me is a lot of good and a lot of meh, but I think it tips more into good than it does meh, and I'm interested to see what you all think of it. So to start this conversation off, I'm going to ask 2 things for each of you. 1, what were your overall thoughts? 2, what's your top 3 episodes?
Oh.
Actually, no, 3 things. 3, what's your bottom 3 episodes? So let's start with Danny. Daniel, Sir Daniel. Tell me, what is your overall thoughts? Top 3, bottom 3, go.
Okay, I can tell you my overall thoughts, but I can't tell you the top 3, bottom 3, because I haven't seen all 9 episodes yet.
Okay.
We only had ours dropped here today.
Well, you could tell you.
Wow.
You could really? you could tell us what you've seen so far, and then what your top 1 or whatever is from that.
Sure. Well, I can certainly do that, and I think you'll know this, Jammer, and you, Jonesy, that anime is not a. It's not a big thing.
It's not my bag, baby.
It's not my bag, baby. No, baby, but it doesn't make me randy. It's not my bag. However, Star Wars is. And so when I saw the trailer, however many weeks or months ago it was, I, like you, was quite excited about it too. I thought, okay, well, here's maybe my chance now, because now you've got something I really do like, mixed with something I'm a little bit meh about. But in all honesty, I'm also a little bit ignorant about anime too. I've only seen 3 or 4 shows, and I feel now that they've been the same kind of animation from the anime studios, because what I found is the first episode of Visions, I'd not seen that style before. So you guys know much more than me. You can tell me that that black and white style and that drawing style, that animation
Afro
style.
Samurai.
Yeah, thank you. I hadn't seen that before. And as soon as it started, I thought, this isn't the anime that I'm used to. I like this. This looks good.
I wasn't naming the style. I was naming something else that immediately made me think of it. So like,
I thought that was perhaps, see, there you go.
No, honestly, that style is relatively unique. I can't point to a single anime that has anything that replicates it, but.
Well, I think that was a great way to start this anthology of episodes, because it was completely new to me, and I'm sure I can't be the only one too. I really, really liked it. I love the Star Wars references. I love the sound effects. I love the subtle hints in the music that was being used. I love the characters that we recognize, but they've altered them in a slight, like the astromech droid wearing the more traditional samurai kind of wicker hat kind of look in that feudal era time. I thought all those little nuances were fantastic. Loved it. One thing I really loved in that first episode was the stormtrooper helmets, where they're taking away the eyes. So now the stormtrooper helmets themselves looked like some sort of traditional Japanese feudal era type of armor. And I thought those kind of nuances, that kind of design, that kind of uniqueness, I really, really loved. I didn't like the choppy editing. It felt like a Michael Bay movie to me. I swear I looked down to make a note and then they were suddenly fighting on a raft, turned my head, looked back at the screen, and they were behind a waterfall. Don't want to give any spoilers. And what the fuck happened there? That was shit. This shit changed. And then other than that, that first episode was great. The second one, completely different style, correct? Completely different animation style. Yeah. That's the one that I'm not too keen on. So this episode would fit in not my favorite. The first episode was my favorite out of the two, but it was Star Wars. So I love the fact that it was set in the Star Wars universe, and it was a fucking rock band in the Star Wars universe with all those characters we loved, and with Boba Fett and Jabba and stuff. So right now, we're interested to what you guys are about to tell me about the other episodes. I'm really enjoying the fact that it's Star Wars, and I think it might give me a nice little taster of anime. They're short episodes, right? 15 to 20 minutes. And I think that's going to be really good for me to see these different styles, these different types of anime that you guys know and love so much. So right now I'm really enjoying it, but mostly because it's the Star Wars stuff mixed with the anime. That's where I'm leaning to enjoying it. But I'm loving it so far. Super pleased they've got it out, and I'm looking forward to catching the rest of the episode. So based on what you guys say about your top three, bottom three, they'll be the ones that I go to first and then last. So yeah.
All right. So the top three about Jonesy. What are your overall thoughts? And then what are your top three and bottom three?
So I think I might be able to answer them in the same answer, sort of. So the first two are my favorite. I like the first one because it has a very familiar style, but also it does a good job of melding Japan and just straight up Star Wars. The fight is pretty fun. And I actually learned something interesting about this one. So there is a book that's going to be coming out this year about the first one. And it's called Star Wars Ronin. And it's going to expand on the rest of this one. So I think I might actually read that, because
I'm excited about that
the
now.
The twist of the end of that episode, I liked. Yeah. And I'm hoping that it actually means something and it's not just bullshit. The thing that I like about the second one is that it is not a build up to a fight. It is resolved in a very different way. And I feel like for Star Wars, that is very different. And so then that allows me to take everything else and say it all kind of falls in the same, like while it all looks different because it's all different animation styles, binging this all together created the same problem where you're watching a problem and then it builds to the lightsaber duel and then it's in. Then it's over. And it presented sort of the same problem that I feel like people have, that I have with Star Wars generally, where it's, this is a galaxy and we watch the same thing happen over and over and over again. And so that was my frustration watching this. And I'm sure that would be mitigated by not watching them all back to back to back to back. But
which is why they should have released it weekly.
I don't know if I don't know. I'm conflicted on that. But again, the thing that I really like the second one again, because it does a few things. It gives you the fan service. So you get to see Boba Fett, you get to see Jabba, you get to see a bunch of different elements, but then it builds on that world and you get to see something completely different and a resolution that you didn't necessarily see coming. I actually had a question and I'll save it for later for you, Jammer. But I really started disliking it towards the end. Like Lope and Ocho would probably be towards the bottom.
That was probably my biggest disappointment.
Oh man, just weirdly bad. And then
I like the idea of it. It was just executed poorly.
Yeah. I didn't like Akakiri. I did not like that
episode,
but I liked how it ended because it did something that Star Wars generally does not do.
They only did it once in episode 3.
Right. It's like it ends on like a, hey, but that's not the end of the story. That's the other part. So where Star Wars ends on a negative note, that is not the end of the story. And you're going to get more. So while episode 3 is a book, it gets resolved in episode 4, 5, and 6. This ended on a negative note. And I liked that because you get to see something very different. So while I did not like the episode as a whole, I really dug that ending.
I agree.
So yeah, that's how I felt about it generally. I also have this weird feeling. I'm going to tee it up because this is part of the question. It's frustrating to me to watch Star Wars and to see very few women of color. And I guess the question I would ask you later on is, do you think that women in anime or characters in anime are Japanese?
Yes.
So if that is the case, show me Japan in a galaxy far, far away. Does that make sense?
What? No. I mean,
you're telling me that they're Japanese. Part of the conversation that people have about anime generally is, and it's usually Westerners, is that anime characters do not look Japanese.
Mm-hmm.
They look like mostly Western Euro characters
to us.
Sure.
To Japanese people, they look Asian. That's the thing. Is yeah, they do.
No, I'm shaking my head. I'm disagreeing. Like, I got it. I know what you think. I disagree.
I know you disagree. I'm just saying, and they say that they look Asian to people who grow up in Asia or in Japan. I've seen like that's kind of what they think. I think the thing is they look neutral enough to where whatever race is watching it can identify with them.
That's interesting. I don't feel that as I look at them. And so it's just interesting to me watching this. But anyway, that was it. Those are my thoughts and feelings.
For me, I thought overall it was a mixed bag, but I think I skew positive towards it. As expected, they're is a lot of great unique visions no pun intended, actually, unique visions brought to this. I think it opens up a lot of potential. I wanted to see a lot of these stories expanded on in, you know, longer stories, which I think would be cool and would further expand the universe. But as far as my favorite, I would say top three in no particular order: Tatooine Rhapsody, The Village Bride, and The Ninth Jedi. So Tatooine Rhapsody, we've talked about it 3 times already, so we all kind of know what that is. It's about a rock band in freaking Tatooine. The Village Bride, which follows sort of like a wedding ceremony and having to do with like a struggle against the Empire undercurrent. I thought that was interesting in that it felt like the most culturally rich of all of them, and there was like a lot of great world building within it. And you kind of got steeped in the world, and it was oddly patient. There wasn't really any action in it until like the very end. And I just really liked that. The Ninth Jedi I also thought was fun. I like the main character. I like the action, little mini action set pieces we got. And I like just sort of how the story ultimately culminated. I just thought it was fun to watch.
I liked the twist in that one.
Yeah, it was good.
It, what it
the way they utilized the power of these, no, not the expectation, but no. The power of the lightsabers and the way they actually change color based on who's wielding them was really cool.
Yeah.
It was great.
I think what frustrates me about the storytelling here, not a problem with Visions, but more so with the movies, there is never any surprise. There's hardly, and like, if you're watching,
except for the last
Empire Strikes, yeah, I was gonna say, what surprise?
There's lots of surprises in that movie.
Are there? Like what?
Yeah, I'm trying to think here. What's a surprise in that movie? I mean, did you know which way Kylo Ren was gonna turn at any one point?
Yeah. Did I have an expectation that he would become good? Yeah, there's a whole nother movie. No, I didn't think that he was gonna become good.
But he did return. But the thing is, he did become good, but he didn't become good in that movie. I thought there was lots of great surprises in the last Jedi.
But you're talking about within that movie.
Yeah.
No. Within that movie, no. Nothing surprised me.
Nothing surprised. I'm trying to think of what surprised me in that movie. When Luke was see-through, that didn't surprise you?
No, because as he's walking on the sand, he's not making any footprints.
Yeah, but you're fucking weird and no one else noticed that.
Like, they made a point of showing you what was underneath. And then when Kylo Ren slid through, they made a point of showing like, oh, okay.
I'm aware of what they showed. I know the movie, Jonesy. Saying.
So listen.
I'm just saying most people don't notice that first time around. You're the only person I've met who knew that the first time around.
With the exception of Empire Strikes Back, and you watch this movie for the first time and like that.
But think about it. That's a poor twist because you can't look back at the rest of it and be like, oh, of course. It's just out of left field. There's nothing before that hints at that twist. That's a bad twist.
I'm not talking about the quality. What I'm saying is it is generally more straightforward storytelling than what we got in Visions. And I liked what they did in Visions, right? So the way the characters came off and the one that you're talking about, it was surprising that they all turned out to be sick.
Whoa, 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 whoa. Don't spoil it.
I mean...
Okay.
My bad. I spoiled. It was surprising that they turned out to be the bad guys. Sorry. It was surprising because it was. And that is not a storytelling thing that we usually get in the movies. Right?
Yeah,
I will further distinguish it from what you said. Even looking at The Last Jedi, the things that you're talking about are not the nature of a character. You're talking about, is this person actually in the room? I think it's different when we're watching this thing. We're expecting something about the nature of who we're watching and who we've been following as part of the narrative. And then it turns out to be different, right?
Yeah.
I guess that's what I mean. That's part of what I mean.
Okay. Well, anyways, The Ninth Jedi is baller. You should definitely watch it. It's great. My lower three, I think Akakiri, except for that ending, like you said, that ending's good. The Elder, boring. And then Toby, even though I liked the animation, but just the story was just blah. And then, it's weird.
Never use a lightsaber, but I'm gonna fight this Inquisitor.
I like the idea. So those are my bottom three. How do you feel about that? Those bottom three.
I agree. Toby bothered me. Like the episode was annoying. Like the only reason Dr. Light is dead is because he did that thing.
Toby is interesting. So Toby is very clearly inspired by Astro Boy.
Yeah.
Which is
not just that. Maybe some Mega Man.
No, definitely just Astro Boy.
What?
Yeah, it's completely Astro Boy. It's 100% Astro Boy.
Does the creator look like he's straight out of Mega Man?
You mean the scientist?
Yeah.
Look up Dr. Ochanomizu. Ochanomizu.
Kind of, but I think that he
kind looks, of.
Whoa.
Who does he look like to you?
I can't. It's either Dr. Light or I always forget who is Mega Man's creator. So look up Dr. Light.
I mean, I could see it, but you could argue that, you know, he was inspired by Astro Boy.
You know what?
Well.
Let's say it's an amalgamation.
No, I don't want to because I think I'm right.
I think he's I think you're right in the sense that it is definitely inspired by Astro Boy, but
it's definitely inspired by Astro Boy.
Of that character, there's one, I see Dr. Also, Wily and Dr. Light.
There's the name of it, the name of the main character is also it, because Astro Boy's original name before he became Astro Boy was Toby.
I'm not disagreeing with you about him. But I do think that the creator looks more
the
like
animation Dr. style is 100% Osamu Tezuka, who is very known for his round shapes. It's not Mega Man. Mega Man was inspired by Astro Boy, if anything else.
Fine. That's probably true.
Because Astro Boy came out in like the 60s. That's all I have to say.
I just disagree.
That's all I have to say about that. But anyways, I like the animation style. I like its inspiration, and I thought it had potential to do something creative, but then the story itself fell flat for me. Did not care for it. I'm trying to think, is there anything else specifically, any other one that I really liked? Those are like the top three. The twins I do want to talk about. The twins was interesting, but it was fun to watch, but it was also very flat. It was very much the style over substance kind of episode. And I was disappointed because I love Studio Trigger. I love their animation, generally speaking, which also surprised me because the animation in The Elder sucked. I hated the animation in The Elder.
Also, I think that's weird how I was super excited to watch something by Studio Trigger.
Me too.
Until you said that, none of us have mentioned it.
Yeah, because it's not that great. Neither of them are that great.
Man, that's disappointing.
Like the ones that really stood out to me were, I guess, the top three. Kinema Citrus, Production IG, which surprised me because I don't know what Production IG has done really recently. And then Tatooine Rhapsody.
Yeah.
Which Tatooine Rhapsody, that's from Studio Colorido. I think they did Made in Abyss, an anime that I have not seen, but I've seen animation of, and it looks gorgeous. And I can kind of see that there. Kinema Citrus, or is that the right one? Kinema Citrus. What have they done? Kinema Citrus. They have done. Oh no, I think they're the ones who did Kinema Citrus. They did Made in Abyss.
Okay.
So yeah, that one was good.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm. I feel very meh about it overall. It's not bad.
Which one?
I'm not saying that it's bad, but it's fine.
Which one?
Overall.
Star
Wars Visions. The whole thing.
I like the fact that most of them felt different and more separated from the Star Wars universe than the other stuff, and I was happy about that, and I want to see more of that, just with better executed stories outside of my top three.
Yeah. Okay.
But it I'm was really better. I thought it was better than the Animatrix and better than Gotham Knight.
Undoubtedly. Like, I would say that those are largely bad.
Yeah. So if you like those, I think these are better.
If this was a C, then I would say that those are C minus. I would give this a C plus.
I give it a, I think I agree. Overall C plus, but each one has like their own ratings, which I don't think I would be able to dive into effectively without watching them multiple times. By the end, it was definitely becoming a chore. And I was actually really looking forward to Lopen Ocho because it looked like it would fun based on the trailer, and it was just boring.
And it was so long. Why are you so long and so boring?
Yeah, I don't know. It was bad. It wasn't bad. It was just long and boring. And I didn't understand the characters. They didn't make it quite clear why Ocho was so mean and so like why she felt the way she did. I didn't feel the motivations behind it. I didn't feel like the main character drove the plot forward, which I think was the greatest strength of the Ninth Jedi. I think between that and Tatooine Rhapsody, those are the ones where I feel like the main characters drove the plot.
Yeah.
Whereas the other ones, stuff was just happening.
So here's the weird thing. You're like, they didn't explore this. They didn't explain this. Why the fuck was that episode so long? It was like 20 minutes long. And
it was
22
minutes long.
Huh?
22.
22 minutes long. And like, I have no idea why these characters are doing and feeling anything that they're feeling.
Yeah.
They're just like, what were you doing this whole time?
They should have picked a smaller scope story, which actually is what impressed me with the Ninth Jedi. Not to go back to that, that one felt like a pretty big scope, and they managed to get it done in fairly succinctly in like 19 minutes or something. I was actually impressed with what it accomplished in its runtime. Where like, I think we're like 4 or 5 minutes in before we get introduced to the main character, but it works.
What I find interesting about that one, I feel like that one, even more so than the others, I feel like, it felt like something out of like the Last Jedi, not the Last Jedi, goddamn it, Knights of the Republic, where we're about to now go on this quest. Like now you got your crew together. You're about to see what happens with the rest of these characters. For me, that was probably the one where I wanted to see what would happen next the most, mostly because again, there was a surprise in there that happened that I wasn't expecting. And by the end, you're kind of like bought in on these characters and wanting to see what happens. So
yeah,
at least I was. I don't know about
you. So great job, Studio Kinema. Nope, that's the wrong one. Production IG, you did good. You done good. Okay, cool. So there you go. Those are the ones. It's funny, ironically, the one that was in my top three, Danny, you don't like. So we'll see how the other two go for you.
Well, considering my opinion on anime and your opinion on anime, I'm not surprised by that.
That's a good point. Well, I mean, I feel like you can't have an opinion on anime. You've seen like two shows.
Yeah, they both suck.
Were they?
Wait, what were they?
Two? I can't have an opinion.
What are you two?
I can't even fucking remember.
You can have an opinion on those shows. I don't know if you can have an opinion on an entire medium, though.
No, this is true. And I did say when I started talking about Visions that I am ignorant in a lot of those styles, and I did like these ones. So are there, question for you guys then, is this a reflection of all the different types of anime in these 9 episodes, or is there something that I'd still be missing from an animation style point of view?
I don't think there was a lot of CG in here that I recall. So like if you think about Ghost in the Shell, one of those iterations.
Oh, and like the shitty CG that Japan keeps trying to do.
It's the current wave, right? Like,
and what was the that one show that came out on Netflix? Something Exile, not Last Exile. What the heck was that? It came from Gen Urobuchi.
Exile.
Who I love as a writer. He did Madoka. He did one of those CG things, anime movies. Anime movie. Expelled from Paradise. CG. Gross.
Not good.
I mean, it was okay. The movie itself, I mean, but I watched it like 7 years ago and I thought it was good, but I wish it wasn't CG.
I watched Devilman Crybaby, and as it's kind of spoiled me on wanting to watch another Japanese version of Creation Myth or anything like that. It's not good.
So I'm guessing
not good.
What you said then, Jonesy, that this is most of it. There's not much that I'm missing from that sense, that point.
No, that's not true.
It's an entire medium. Yeah,
it's an entire medium. It cannot be encapsulated in 9 episodes.
That jumped out at me that was not represented here.
Okay.
But it is a pretty good swath.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, it's like it's all very different from each other. I mean, yeah, there are definitely tropes, just like anything. But like, you could find I'm sure there's a weightlifting anime out there. Maybe you'll like that one.
What? I've taken it, Gemma, that you've stopped going to the gym now. That's why you've got that bicep envy going on.
That's it. There's a boxing anime that's awesome, but you probably won't like, because it's awesome in that it's fun to follow, but it's not great in that the way they handle exposition is very like on the nose.
And is it 7,000 episodes long?
Yes.
Fuck's sake.
Have you watched Cowboy Bebop?
No.
You should watch it.
How many episodes is it? Will I be 26. 50 when I finish like
26.
It?
Is it 26? It's 26 episodes.
And does it finish, or is that just season 1 of 11?
That's it.
No, that's it. Okay, so there's your other thing. Anime, generally speaking, has one or two seasons of 12 to 26 episodes, and that's it. You're done.
Okay.
There aren't seasons. That's
why I like Naruto. It's super short.
No, oh, shut up. Those are different. Those are Shonen Jump series. Those are like the long-running shows aimed towards teen boys.
Like I'm Dragon talking Ball about Z, like, super short.
Exactly. That's the same demographic that I just said.
No. Did you hear the last thing I said? Super short.
Yeah, I know. That's what I'm saying is it's not. But my point is that that falls into the same shonen thing that I said is like those shonen things aimed towards teens that are serialized. Those are long, but most of everything else is generally 13 to 26 episodes and just done.
Like One Piece.
You're naming this all the shonen shit. You're naming all the same shit. Name five more. Go.
Five more non-shonen or five more anime?
Shonen.
I could not distinguish between shonen and something else. Like, that's not how.
Point is, generally speaking, most series are 13 to 26 episodes and then they're done. There might be sequels, but you can kind of like take them or leave them depending on. Okay. But in a lot of times they're not necessarily like by the same production company or what have you, or they might not have the same, they might just kind of have the DNA of the original, but not necessarily follow the same characters.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
You ever watch Ghost in the Shell?
Yeah, I don't like it.
No, not you.
Oh,
no.
Okay.
The only time I even heard about that was when they made the live action version of it that everyone was up in arms about. Did it have Scarlett Johansson in it or something? Or have I just made that up?
No, that was it.
No, that's right. That's right.
It's all right. That's what I think about that movie. It's not good.
Well, I didn't even know that was an anime thing before that was a movie, obviously. I was completely
ignorant. I really like
it. So please tell me that Cowboy Bebop has a cowboy in it.
It does. Well, how do you define cowboy?
That's a great way to say it. Does how do you define cowboy?
Someone that herds cows in the wild west of America or herds other animals in any other part of the world, wears a hat, maybe carries a gun.
Wait, so
it has to be
the man with no name?
I did correct myself. So, or herds cattle in any other part of the world. You can have cowboys in Australia.
It has to be on Earth.
I don't know that the herding part. Okay, so is the man with no name, is that a cowboy? Clint Eastwood?
Yeah. I mean, he has no name hat, series. But he doesn't herd shit
except people of hell.
Just because you don't see him herd cows, you don't know his fucking life before he became a hitman.
He doesn't. He does not herd cows in any way, shape, or sense.
No, I said he herds motherfuckers to hell. That's what he does.
No, not even in his fucking pastime. Not even his hobbies.
With his guns.
Anyway.
We don't know his backstory.
By your weird definition, no, there's no cowboys, but there are, I think, one or two characters that have cowboy-ish tendencies, like wearing hats and guns.
So I would say yes. You would recognize a couple of characters.
People wear fucking hats in baseball. What the fuck?
So there are a couple of characters that you'd be
seen a trailer for Cowboy Bebop ever?
I have no idea. I was just hoping there'd be a cowboy.
That's even better. Don't.
Are you going to send it to me, Jeff?
You know what?
I'm sending you.
Think you should watch the Cowboy Bebop movie, and then if you like it, watch the show.
Gamma?
I agree with that. The movie is a fairly solid representation of what you can expect from the show.
And it's, you know, like you dedicate this time to this movie, this arc. And while it is in canon, you would watch the show and like, when does this take place? I don't know. But I really enjoy the movie. And it is a relative accurate, as Jammer said, representation of the TV show. But it's, you know, it's like, what, 90 minutes, if that?
The movie?
Yeah.
I think it's like about an hour and 45 minutes.
Okay. See? Yeah.
All right. So, cowboy. A man Bebop. Who herds and tends cattle, or in English, a dishonest or careless person. Is this Cowboy Bebop either of those things as described by the
yes?
Wait, what was the second
yes?
One?
Yes, the second person? One.
Yes,
the second one. Yes,
as a matter of fact, I think that's probably where that came from.
No, it came from the that's the name. The name of the ship is just the Bebop.
No. I'm saying I think that someone saw that definition was like, oh, yeah,
what?
Someone probably saw that definition of cowboy. Like the creator of Cowboy Bebop was like, oh yeah, that totally fits.
That's right. See, gotcha. I see where you're coming from. All right, I've just Googled it. Jammer, have you sent it to me?
I sent you, I put it in Slack.
The movie. Okay,
cool. The movie trailer.
I say don't even watch the trailer.
No, fuck it, watch the trailer.
Anime trailers are terrible.
It's not from an English distributor. I don't actually. I haven't watched this trailer, so I actually don't know if it's any good. But
I love them like they're terrible. You're like, I haven't seen this.
I think all this right. seems okay. Hold on, this seems. Oh yeah, this is all right.
Are we getting a live reaction to a 20-year-old movie?
Well, see, now I'm confused because it says Cowboy Bebop the movie is set between episodes 22 and 23 of the original series.
Well, don't worry about it. It's not, it doesn't affect anything.
Yeah.
Okay, gotcha.
That's what I was saying. Like, you would watch this and it wouldn't, you know.
All right. Cool.
Yeah, you don't need to know what happened before. Yeah, give it a watch. And then, but the show is a bit slow. It's a little slow.
They got episodes to fill, man.
But if you appreciate, I think Denis Villeneuve could have done a good Cowboy Bebop live action movie.
Well, I think the dog disagrees.
I think Oliver disagrees.
Oliver! Shush!
So yeah. All right. You guys got anything else to say about any of the existential crises that we have talked about today or Star Wars visions? Or...
I got nothing.
Got nothing? Oh, I got pizza nothing. Waiting on me. I got something.
You got pizza?
I got pizza.
I got pizza yesterday.
Yes. Danny, do you have pizza?
Danny doesn't eat pizza. Look at his physique.
It's definitely not pizza. Fuck. Yeah.
You had to ruin it. You were 66% there. Could have been 100.
No, I had it yesterday. I'm not having it today.
I know, but like, you know, yeah. I will sorry, accept Danny. Within a 24
Did hour you have period. Pizza earlier today? Do you plan on having pizza tomorrow?
Yes, I do now.
There you go. Yes. We made it.
Mission accomplished.
We did it.
Oh, sweet. You did well there, Dungeon.
I mean, not really, because we still got a whole outro to go to before we get back to it, but okay.
Do we?
I think so.
Oh, right. Outro, the end of the show. Nice, interesting. Dear listener, if you like what you heard, and how could you not, right? All of these lighthearted topics that we barreled through today. Do all the socials, like, rate, comment, subscribe, share. We would definitely appreciate it. Also, I would specifically appreciate if you got on Apple Podcasts and we're like, hey, I like what I heard. Or say you didn't like it. You know, if you're motivated to say something, I'd appreciate it. But just get on Apple Podcasts and let, Tim Apple know what you think of our show. We'd appreciate that. Also, LRM has other great programs and reading material for you on LRMonline.com. So go check that out. I'm sure you'll have a good time. Other than that, Danny, where can you be found?
Oh, is he frozen? Well, I could be found on... I don't even know where you can share. So no. Never mind. I was like, I don't remember if he wants to share anything or not, so I'm not going to do anything. You can find me every week on Breaking Geek Radio, the podcast. Here, shooting the breeze with my boys. What's up? Hey, Danny. Where can we find you? Where can we find you? You're on mute, dude. You're on mute. There you go.
Are we back in the room?
Yeah.
We never left.
You were back. I left the room, but Zoom kicked me out. I didn't plan on leaving the room. Zoom obviously didn't want me here anymore. And I came back on. They came back on with no sound except Jammer doing a terrible English impression.
I was hoping you didn't hear that.
And that's all I got. I got no pictures, and then suddenly everything popped back up. So I apologize. I missed all that. Jammer, that was an awful English accent, but I'll forgive you because you're pretty.
Oh, thank you. So where can people find you? Do you care?
Zoom obviously doesn't want me in this room anymore, so I don't know where I'll be. If the Discord channel. So if you guys, the dear listener, want to connect on the Discord channel and do it, jump into that and tell us what you think about anything we've discussed today. Other than that, I do float around the Twitterverse on Danny K. Bartlett occasionally.
Ask them on Discord what their favorite episode was. I'm curious about that. Like, I like Jeremy's question. Blah, blah. Top three, bottom three.
Yep.
Jammer, where can you be found when you're not impersonating Danny?
You can find me on Twitter at JamTheWriter and all of my writings under the name AJ Cerna on Amazon and Audible. And you could find my new book, City of Mages, being serialized on Wattpad twice a week, Tuesdays and Thursdays.
What? Wattpad? That's right. And you can find me, Brandon Jones, at Sir Jonesius on Twitter, as well as Instagram. And of course, right here on Breaking Geek Radio, the podcast. Folks, as always, thanks for listening, and we will catch you on the next one. Hasta lasagna.
Don't get any on ya.
And as the great man once said, be curious, not judgmental. Good night.
Mission accomplished. We did them all. We should just add a quote each episode and see if we can remember as we go get so far. It's like an elaborate game of Simon Says.
Telephone, Simon Says. What's the... Is it telephone? No.
No.
What's the game?
Where you're supposed to... Simon. Simon. He's like Simon? The boop,
oh,
boop,
okay. Got it. Oh, I'm terrible at those.
Me too. I get really self-conscious. I just like, fuck, what am I doing? Why am I doing this? I have nothing to prove. And then I just stop playing.
Not to prove anything to you, Simon. Fuck off.
All right. All right. That was fun. Pizza time.